ABC Radio Australia.
The world's attention may be on COVID-19, but for many, the biggest threat to the Pacific is still climate change. And advocates are calling on Pacific governments to keep the pressure on Australia to reduce its carbon emissions and not step back from the campaign to reduce global warming. The call comes after almost a year after the last meeting of the Pacific Islands Forum, during which Australia's Prime Minister Scott Morrison was firmly put on the spot over his government's climate policies. But with this year's forum meeting that was to be held in Vanuatu next month has of course been cancelled because of COVID-19. And so there's concern that any gains made by regional leaders in Tuvalu last year will be lost. Reporter Evan Wasuka has more.
In April this year, Category 5 Cyclone Harold hit the Southwest Pacific. More than 20 people died and the widespread damage will cost millions of dollars to rectify. And scientists have been warning that severe storms like Harold will become more common as a result of climate change.
So the day that government scientists said 14 of the last extreme weather events were made worse by climate change caused by pollution. Examples.
But this year, it's another crisis that the world has been focused on, the coronavirus pandemic. Genevieve Jiva is the coordinator of the Pacific Islands Climate Action Network.
The climate crisis hasn't stopped because of COVID, even though we have COVID now, and it remains the single greatest threat to the Pacific. And we also see, because of the pandemic, that there are dual impacts now that communities are facing. We saw this quite clearly during Cyclone Harold in April, which hit Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, Fiji, and Tonga. And the recovery effort had to take into account COVID-19 response.
In August last year, regional leaders, including the prime ministers of New Zealand and Australia, gathered in Tuvalu for the annual Pacific Islands Forum meeting. It was there that Australia's Scott Morrison was forced to account for Australia's climate policy, and where Pacific Island leaders united to make their stand on climate change known and stress the need to reduce carbon emissions. But this year's meeting has fallen victim to COVID-19, and there are fears that any momentum gained will be lost. However, Ms. Jiva says the pressure will be maintained, with lobbying taking place in the background.
A lot of our advocacy work has moved online, and so a lot of, in a region like the Pacific where connectivity is not always the best, that can be an issue. And so we're working incredibly hard to make sure that all voices are taken into account and that the consultation and coordination process is robust despite the current challenges being faced.
Dame Meg Taylor is the Secretary General of the Pacific Islands Forum Secretariat.
The climate issue is not a secondary issue. For the leaders, it's a, yes, we've got COVID now, but climate will be with us forever.
Dame Meg insists that the commitments made in Tuvalu last year in the Kainaki Declaration, which was endorsed by Australia and called on countries to reduce carbon emissions, still stand.
What's important for the Secretariat is that we're working closely with the United Nations Secretary General's office and also with our permanent representatives and particularly the forum chair in New York to make sure that we're watching what is happening internationally in terms of the climate issues. What we expect is that Australia, as a member of the Pacific Island Forum, to be very upfront with the membership of the forum to indicate, what they're doing to make sure that the commitments that they made under the Kanaka Elua are met.
One of those commitments calls on governments to invest in renewable energy and move away from fossil fuels.
I think Australia and New Zealand, I would like to see do more to help us in this so that we do make a transition into use non-fossil fuels for fueling our economies.
And progress in this area may come from an unlikely source, because Solomon Islands, which has heavily relied on imported diesel to power its capital city, is now transitioning to green energy.
We're going to be providing electricity to Honiara grid, which takes pretty much than 80% of the Solomon Island electricity consumer.
Fred Conning is the deputy project manager for the $200 million US Tina River Hydro Project.
And we think that by doing Tina, we can be less reliant on imported fuel, and also helping the Solomon Island government to achieve its commitment in the green climate commitment.
The World Bank project has been a decade in the making, but with funding cleared in 2019, it came online in the nick of time, just ahead of the coronavirus pandemic. Mr. Conning says around 100 new jobs have been created, and a further 200 will come up when major construction work starts.
with COVID-19, everything slows down. So we have already locked in a lot of the financing for this project. We are giving some hope for recovery. You know, like when FINA comes in 2024, it put the Solomons in a very good footing to achieve other things. You know, we have a lower electricity tariff that will pave way for other investment, and hopefully that will make other companies or people who are doing business here.
It's this type of approach that civil society groups and the Forum Secretariat are keen to push for, a solution that can address both climate change and the economic impacts of COVID-19.